Welcome to Chicago Tabernacle, a place of becoming. Wherever you find yourself, we pray that you would be encouraged today by God's word. Please join us now as we hear a message from Pastor Toledo.
Hey, family, God bless you. I hope you're ready to receive the word of God this morning. I'm coming to you via video because I'm actually preaching today's message live in Philadelphia. So last week, they received the message on video, and this week you're getting it on video. And I am so excited about this particular series because I think it is so important. Securing personal power is something that is offered to every child of God. When you think about these verses that we're taking in last week, and by the way, if you weren't here last week or if you didn't take in last week's message, please do so, because if there's anything that our Heavenly Father wants is for us to receive power from the Holy Spirit. Everyone say power. Power is what is available from our God. And what a big miss if we don't receive power from on high. That is what Christianity is all about. And today's message is the second in the series that I just mentioned. And we're going to talk about another type of personal power that every Christian needs. Honestly, I'm surprised that the Apostle Paul didn't say this one first, but the Lord's wisdom is higher than ours, and so the Lord knows why he says things the way he says them. But the reason I say that is because today's focus is actually crucial to our private health. If you want to be a person who is privately healthy and then publicly fruitful, which is the essence of Christianity. The essence of Christianity is that you're close to God, your closeness to God leads you to being a person who's privately healthy. The key to private health revolves around your relationship with Jesus. Okay, so privately healthy, then we become publicly fruitful. A lot of people try to ignore their private health, and then they try to be publicly fruitful, but what they're really focusing on is being publicly successful. And successful and fruitful are two very different things. Success can leave you empty in the end. Fruitful, you take with you to heaven. Bearing fruit. Fruit that will last, John chapter 15, will take you all the way to heaven. And so today's message is fundamental to every human being. It's central to all of our relationships, to all conflict, and how we even feel about ourselves. So let's read and let's discover the second type of personal power that God wants to give us. Hands down, absolutely, this message is for everyone, front row to the back row. Every single one of us, if you're watching online today, this message is a promise. It's available from the throne room of grace right into your heart. So let's read and discover what is this second type of personal power. Ephesians chapter 3, I'm going to do the same thing that I did last week. I'm going to read a couple of verses in three different translations because of how rich and how important this is. So we're going to start with the New Living Translation. It says, and may you have the power, everyone say power. Remember, we're talking about not human power, we're talking about spirit power today. The power of the Holy Spirit to impact us personally. So it says, may you have the power to understand as all God's people should. This is for all of us. Understand what? How wide, how long, how high, how deep his love is. And not just understanding, watch this, may you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. In other words, for the rest of your life, you can be impacted deeply by the love of God. You will, experiencing the love of God will never run out for us, even when we get to heaven. Hallelujah. It says, then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Leave this right here. So if you want to be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God, we need the power that we're talking about today. I hope you understand it already, but let's keep going. Next translation. This is actually a paraphrase. This is someone saying, this is my best creative expression of what this text means. It's not like a more of a literal or even dynamic translation. But listen to this, because I just think it's so good. This is the message. And I ask him that with both feet planted firmly on love, you will be able to take in, everybody say take in, take in with all followers of Jesus the extravagant dimension of Christ's love. We're talking about taking in the extravagant dimensions of the love of God, okay? Reach out and experience the breadth. Test its lengths. Plumb the depths. Rise to the heights. Live full lives, full in the fullness of God. How do you get full in the fullness of God? It's through his love. And now here's the last one. We get our title from this. In the NIV, Paul said, and I pray that you being rooted and established in everyone, love. God wants us to be rooted in love and established in love. To be rooted and established, meaning that wherever you go, you are standing. Your platform for life is the love of God. Somebody say amen to that. That's our platform as children of the Most High God. Okay, so it says, rooted and established in love, may have power together, all of us, with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp, power to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, we're talking about something that goes way beyond what you can understand in your head. We're talking a revelation to the human heart that is absolutely transformational. The love of God should be a revelation to your heart that is transforming to your life. That's what separates Christianity from all other philosophies, all other religions. He changes us not by rules and regulations, hallelujah. He changes us by the power of his love. Love is the most excellent way, the Bible says. And it says, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. If you want to be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God, you need this second power, which is power to grasp. Everyone say power to grasp, okay? To grasp what? To grasp the love of God. What I'm talking about today is that God would do something in each and every one of us, regardless of our background, regardless of our life choices, regardless of our emotional state, regardless of the impact that other people have had upon our lives. There is a power available that is absolutely transformational. It's the power to grasp the love of God. And I want us to pray in a unique way. Because while you're praying for yourself and pray for yourself, I also want you to pray for the whole room. I want you to pray for everyone in Philadelphia. I want you to pray for everyone that's watching online, because this is something that's supposed to happen in a very collective sense. And if this would happen collectively, do you know that marriages would get healed? Do you know that teenagers would stop running in rebellion? Do you know that backsliders would be captured and rescued and they would turn? If we could collectively grasp the love of God and the fullness of his power could work in us, everything about us would be different. So come on, let's pray a big prayer today. Let's believe God for something great today. Let's believe for a kingdom transaction, okay, that surpasses, that supersedes all of the junk of this world, the harshness, the difficulty, the tragedy of this world. How is that overcome and conquered? It's conquered by the love of God. So come on, lift your hands with me right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I just thank you for the immensity, Lord, of your promise today. I thank you, Lord, for how great and how wonderful your promise is to us. The promise that says that even from the deepest, darkest, most difficult place, Lord, we can grasp your love. God, I pray that you would fill this room with your love right now. God, I pray that you would fill someone's living room watching online, someone's car, someone in the office, God. May there be a manifestation of your love, Lord. We've prayed, Lord, that when people cross, oh God, the threshold of our church, that the first thing they would experience is your love. May it be today. May it be in churches all across Chicago. May it be in churches all across this country, Lord God, that when people walk through the door of your house, that they would experience a deep manifestation of your love. Lord, I pray that you would take it further today. I pray that you would help us all individually and collectively. Help us, give us the power to grasp your amazing, supernatural, transforming love. Do it, Lord God. Help my feeble lips, Lord, to communicate your heart. I trust you to do it in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. So we're talking about the power to grasp. To grasp what? To grasp the love of God. This message is the crux of Christianity. It is crucial to all of us. We, as fallen people, as broken people, we have a Savior, a Father, a Helper, the Holy Spirit, that absolutely love us. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Love is what we need the most. I agree with Fred Rogers, who once said, love is at the root of everything. All learning, all parenting, all relationships, love or the lack of it. If you drill down deep into the anger that resides in our city, into the crime that is present in our city, you know what the core issue is love. People who don't experience the transforming love of God will ultimately lash out and act out. And from the suburbs to the city, all of us, we need the supernatural, powerful love of God. You know, I was driving into church today, and as I was driving in, I heard an ad on Moody Radio. And the ad was about a book for college for college ministry. And this guy who's been in college ministry for many, many years said that probably the biggest challenge that college students have is accepting the love of God. And you know, it's not just college students. It's across the board. In fact, sometimes you can run into someone who's been a long time in the Lord, but they stop growing. And you know why Christians stop growing? When we stop experiencing the power of the love of God, we stop growing as Christians. Love is the most excellent way, the Bible says. I just want you to know, when you grasp the dynamic power of the love of God, it makes you happy. It makes you whole. It makes you open. And it turns you into a giver. When the real love of God has taken hold of your heart and life, you're happy, you're whole, you're open, and a giver. You know, as I was preparing for this, I was reminded of a story of a Christian, a prisoner in Vietnam. And it turns out, and this is kind of a vile story, but it does describe how powerful the love of God is. So this Christian was in prison because of his faith, and he was given latrine duty. And so as a prisoner, he had to go and clean out the latrines. And what happened is this guy, when he was cleaning the latrines, he started to discover that there were pieces of the Bible there. And he would take that and he would clean it off and he would hide it and then take it into his prison cell. And he was so excited because just reading the promises and experiencing the presence of God would make his heart so happy and whole and strong. And every time they gave him that duty, he was ready to go because he was so longing to get a hold of the Word of God. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You know what he was longing for? He was longing for the loving presence of God. And the loving presence of God will absolutely transform your life no matter what you're facing. It is so amazing how when you personally experience the love of God, how transforming it actually is. Now, let me just say this. We get shades of this because there's nothing like seeing a person who just fell in love. You know, when people fall in love, they just start, they're like bouncing around and they're smiling and all of the above. You know what I'm talking about. Sometimes another way that this happens is when a new baby comes into a home, it just makes you giddy, this bundle of joy. And it's because it's a pure expression of the power of love. But see, those types of love can kind of get dim, and they're not supernatural. But God's love is supernatural, and God's love fills us more than any human love available. And so we're talking about the love of God. And what I want to do in the next few moments is really break down what does it mean to experience the power to grasp the love of God. So to grasp for ourselves, and grasp means to take hold of for yourself. Okay, grasp means that this is for you. It's more than it being offered to you, that you actually take hold of it and you take full possession of it. So the power to grasp translates, first of all, into the power to absorb. Okay, so usually when I make a point, I will give you the explanation and then an illustration. Today I want to begin with the illustration, and you'll see why. So everyone here may or may not know. I mean, I'm assuming that you know of the great D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody is a historical figure in the Christian church, an amazing evangelist. We know right downtown we have Moody Bible Institute. And so on, and all of the things, all of the people that have come out of there came from the ministry of this one man. And in 1873, Moody was in the heyday of his ministry. He was traveling one Sunday, and so he had a guest speaker. And so when he arrived, his wife told him, he said to his wife, how did the services go? She said, oh my goodness, it was phenomenal. She said, literally, she said, this guy's better than you. Here's Moody is turning the whole world upside down. He said, this guy's better than you. He's like, why? She goes, he's so good that we've asked him to stay. And he's been preaching all week. Every night he's coming in preaching. And guess what? He keeps preaching on the same text. What text? John 3:16, for God so loved the world. And Moody was like, come on, man. How do you like preach on the same verse every night? And he got a little bit frustrated. So he went to the service that night and he heard the man of God preach on the love of God. And here's what Moody said. Moody confided to a friend, I never knew up to that time that God loved us so much. This heart of mine, this is Moody, began to thaw out. I could not keep back the tears. I just drank it in. So did the crowded congregation. I tell you that there is one thing that draws above everything else in the world, and that is love. I have never forgotten those nights, Moody said later. And he said, I have preached a different gospel since, and I've had more power with God and man since then. You know what? You could be in God a long time and miss out on the love of God. And I know that Moody was reading his Bible, but reading, as good as reading your Bible is, it doesn't mean that you're actually grasping the love of God. We want to grasp, and to grasp the love of God means that you absorb it for yourself. It means that you take it in deeply for yourself. Just because you know something logically or theologically doesn't mean that you're absorbing it for yourself. And this is why we need power. Life is so busy, so difficult, so noisy, so challenging, so riddled with hurt and pain and trauma and anger. We need power. Everyone say, I need power. Yes. We need the power of the Holy Spirit so despite the kind of week that you had, you can reach up and receive, absorb the transforming love of God. We got to experience the dynamic power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is a spirit of transforming power, and the root of it, the greatest place to start, is start by absorbing the supernatural love of God. I'm talking about absorbing like a sponge. You know, you put a sponge in water, and what happens? The sponge absorbs the water, and when you squeeze the sponge, what comes out? Water. So what are you absorbing this week? What are you absorbing in the morning? How many know we're supposed to absorb love so that we can give out love? We're supposed to absorb love so that when the pressures of this life start to squeeze us, what comes out? Love pours out of us. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. In ourselves, it's not possible. Now, I need to speak to this issue from the perspective of our really doing soul searching and asking ourselves, are we absorbing the love of God? We did some research and we found out that there's actually a syndrome called malabsorption syndrome. Okay? Malabsorption syndrome in the natural, physically speaking, is a syndrome, a condition that prevents the absorption of nutrients through the small intestine. So we should all be eating good food, and good food then goes inside of us and ends up in the small intestine, and the small intestine is what absorbs the micronutrients so that we're strong and healthy. Now, well, let me just pause for a second. Notice that we've got like vegetables here. If you absorb Twinkies all the time, you're not going to be healthy. So we got to take in the right stuff. How many know? We got to take in the word of God. We got to take in truth. We got to take in worship. We got to take in good things that are edifying, whatever's true and lovely and pure and praiseworthy. Think on these things. So you have to take in the right things, because whatever you take in, you're going to digest. Or you should digest when you're healthy. Well, malabsorption syndrome means that some people can eat good things, but their small intestine doesn't digest the food and get the nutrients out of it, right? And here's the result. Because the nutrients are not processed, people get muscle atrophy, they get anemia, extreme fatigue, abdominal pain, gallstones, kidney stones, osteoporosis, all these symptoms, indications, conditions of someone who is malnourished. Well, can I tell you something? I feel like Christians in general, including myself, go through seasons and sometimes decades of spiritual malabsorption syndrome. That's a handful to say. And here's what I mean by that, okay? And judge for yourself, right? So this is spiritual malabsorption syndrome, is a condition that prevents the absorption of God's love and God's word into our hearts. Hear the results. We start to believe the lie that God doesn't love us. Some people literally believe that God doesn't love them. Some people will say, you know what, God loves me because he's God and he has to love everybody, but I know he doesn't like me. If you feel like God doesn't like you, like he loves you, but he doesn't like you, you are not receiving the power to grasp. Some people, they go, you know what, God loves me, I'll accept that, but his favor, God doesn't want to favor me. God doesn't want to like look at me and say, man, they are so special. This is one of my favorites. Absolutely, you are one of his favorites. And the ultimate of it is that not only do we not believe he loves us, likes us, favors us, but a lot of people feel God doesn't want to use me. His call is not upon my life. You were created in his image and you are called to bear fruit for the glory of God. Everyone in this house, God has a plan for you. Before you were born, before the foundations of this world, you've met Jesus. You met Jesus because Jesus has a call upon your life. It may not be a full-time ministry, but you still have a great ministry to the people around you. But all of those things are ruined when we have spiritual malabsorption syndrome. And what is needed, brothers and sisters, is power. Everyone say power. Power to break the lie that says, I'm not special to God. You are special to the creator of the universe. How special? Special enough to have the Father of heavenly lights to send his one and only Son to pay the price of sin, to die, to go to the cross, to be not guilty, to be innocent, and to become guilty for your sake and for mine. Anybody here thankful for the love of Jesus? Come on, let's put our hands together and clap for the love of Jesus. There's nothing greater than the love of Jesus. Where would we be without the love of Jesus? Hallelujah. And what the Lord wants is for us to absorb. So let me just I want to give you a couple of application points. The second point won't be long, so stick with me here. But look, I have this I have a relationship someone I really love, and they were struggling with loving people. And I was like, you know what you need to do? You need to worship, you know? So we got this running joke, because they said, you know what? I went and worshiped, and then when I was finishing worship, I didn't love that person. I still didn't love that person. And so here's what I say. It's not the problem. It's not the fact that worship is not powerful and transformative in his presence. It's that you're not absorbing what you need to absorb. It's malabsorption syndrome. Man, that's hard to say. Let's call it M syndrome so it'll make it easier. You see? Sometimes things happen in our lives. And guess what? God is trying to reach us with his love, and we don't realize that there are blockers. That's why we need power. If someone would get humble enough and hungry enough to say, Lord, I need you to break through this thing inside of me so I can absorb your love. Here's another one. I've seen this over the years. There are people that battle with shame. If you're one of those people, and sometimes people who battle with shame are not aware of it, but you think that when people are talking to you, they're trying to shame you. And so there's this never-ending stream of shame-based responses to hardships and difficulties. And if you're one of those people that when someone might be trying to help you, but you feel like they're always trying to put you down, guess what? Sometimes they're trying to love you, and you're not absorbing love. You need power to break shame. Okay? Shame is not the work of God. There's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Get out of the shame-based response mode. How? Power to grasp the love of God. If they could send me a keyboard player. There is power. We have to get over the lie. You know what? When people battle with shame, there's two conversations happening. First, there one conversation is the conversation that a person could be having with you. The other conversation is the conversation in your head where you hear nothing but shame. Oh, praise be to the living God that there's power for us from the inside out. I'm telling you right now, you might be watching online, right here in this room. There is power. God wants to break through into your heart with his love. We need to say, come on and break through in the name of Jesus. Do it by your mighty power. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, when you look at the division of our country, one more application. When you look at the division of our country. I understand that. I understand different political views and I understand all sorts of positions. I get all of that. But as Christians, we should be able to live above that. We should be able to love despite that. But there are people, okay, that because of their history, because of their political views or poor life examples, they will literally argue against the love of God. They will say, you know what? Those people don't deserve my love. It's not a matter of deserving love. How many know God loves us and we don't deserve it? I'm talking about something bigger than we are. And we can live bigger than we are. We're supposed to live bigger and higher. Somebody say amen to that. We're called to live the high life. We're called to live out of the fullness of the Most High God. We have to grasp the power of God so that any lie that stops us from loving will be broken in the name of Jesus. Can I wrap up this point by saying absorbing the love of God is really what makes us more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Look at what Romans 8, 37 to 39 says. No. Whatever you're going through, whatever you've been through today, no. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, please read this with me, ready? Will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Where are you today? Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing that you did, nothing that you feel, nothing. There is no person, there is no problem, there is no circumstance that can stop us from experiencing to the fullness the love of God. Oh, praise God for his love. Could we put our hands together right now? Come on, let's just clap to Jesus for the supernatural, amazing love of God. Blessed be the name of Jesus. I'm so grateful for the God that we serve. There is so much victory in this room on the other side of receiving his love. It's on the other side. Where's your victory? You know where your victory is? It's on the other side of receiving, of absorbing the love of God. So, first thing he's saying is the power to grasp means that you have the power to absorb. Then, once we have the power to absorb, we receive the other side of the coin, which is the power to embrace. Everybody say power to embrace. What do we mean by power to embrace? We mean power to embrace people. People of all walks of life, people of every color, every tribe, every tongue, every political persuasion. How many know if we only love the people that agree with us or who are close to us, we're not understanding God's love. Your understanding of God's love is way too narrow, way too shallow. Look at what it says in the book of Matthew. God, do something. He says, why should God reward you if you love only the people who love you? Even the tax collectors do that. If you speak only to your friends, have you done anything out of the ordinary? Even the pagans do that. And then look at what he says. I want you to understand this phrase. He says, you must be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. What does that mean? Does that mean that God is expecting perfection of you? Here's what that means. Let me translate it for you. It means that God is saying, I want you to step up your standard of love. I want you to step up to your high calling. I want you to step up in the way you respond to people and feel about people. I want to do something so deep, so radical, so powerful in your life that you can love people who've hurt you, that you can love the unlovely because of what God has done by his power in your heart, in my heart. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. To love our enemies. Help us to love people who hurt us, which I don't find particularly easy, but I still know that it's true. Listen to what J.B. Phillips said about the breadth of God's love. This is so amazing. He said, God's love is wider than the sea, than the world. His love is not narrow or limited. He loved the rich young ruler and the woman caught in adultery. He loved Nicodemus and Zacchaeus. He loved Judas who betrayed him. He loved Caiaphas and Annas, the scheming priest. He loved Herod who murdered John and mocked him. He loved poor, weak Pilate who was torn between justice and ambition. He loved Nero, Hitler, and Stalin. And hallelujah, he loves us too. His love is wide enough to embrace everyone. Could we put our hands together and thank God for his love? Come on, clap with me. Let's celebrate the supernatural love of God today. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So here's what that means. That means that as you experience the power of God's love, but we're talking about absorbing it. Absorbing it. I'll close with this. We say this all the time, but let me tell you again. Since Christy and I have been in the ministry, since we started Chicago Tabernacle, we always prayed. And we still pray it. Because we know that kingdom transactions are supernatural. So we always pray, Lord, the minute they step in the parking lot, the minute they cross the threshold, the minute they stand on any place that reflects, resembles, represents this house, your people, let them instantly feel your love. I'm always praying, God, let people feel your love. Let them walk in and say, I don't understand this. I don't know what's going on, you know. And I hear this testimony over and over again. Oh, yeah, when I start going to the church, I cried for about 3 months. I would just walk in and cry. What is that? That's the overwhelming, supernatural, wonderful, transformational love of Jesus. The deepest things that need to take place in your heart and mine, they can't be accomplished by a man. But they can totally be accomplished by the love of God. So let me say it one more time. The victory that you're desperately longing for is right behind you experiencing the power to grasp the love of God. One of the pastors is gonna come now and he's gonna lead you. But let me tell you this, there's grace and power available to the hungry and to the humble. Grace and power is available. The Bible says, come boldly to the throne of grace. So if you need a breakthrough in your heart of any kind, why don't you start with the breakthrough of the love of God? And if that's you, I don't want you to miss this moment, this opportunity to come and respond and say, God, I am hungry for your love, God. God, I'm ready not to blame. I'm ready not to point fingers. I'm ready to forgive. I'm ready to forget. I'm ready to release. Lord, would you come and do something deep in my heart, in my home, through my life by visiting me with your powerful love? So come on, let's lift our hands right now as one of our pastors comes.